Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the cherubim as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 9. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
As we go on with the description of these four living creatures, we realize that these are parallel to the four living creatures that John saw when in the book of Revelation chapter 4, he also had a vision of the throne of God. And he saw these four living creatures with their four faces, and John also describes them in the book of Revelation. Ezekiel describes them again in chapter 10, when he sees them in chapter 10. And there he identifies to us what these living creatures are. And there we discover that these are cherubim, a created being of God, intelligent beings of God, beings that surround God. In Revelation, we are told that they cease not day or night saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, and which is to come." Now, this ties in then with God's directions to Moses in the building of the tabernacle, which the book of Hebrews tells us is a model of heaven. Now, most of you fellas have built at some time or other in your life a model of either a car or a plane, and you're not building a P-51, but you're building a model of the P-51. You can't get in and fly it, but when you build the model, it looks like, it resembles the real thing. A model is just a resemblance of the real thing. So the tabernacle was just a model of the real thing. The real thing is in heaven. The tabernacle was a model of heaven. And in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, which is a model of the throne of God in heaven, Moses was told to have these cherubim made out of gold above the mercy seat, their wings touching each other and the edges of their wings touching the edge of this little cubicle, which was 15 feet cubicle, golden room. And this is, again, the model of the heavenly thing. So there are these cherubim, these living creatures, no doubt highly intelligent creatures, though they look like they are perhaps some kind of a genetic freak, you know, as far as combining with four faces and feet like a calf and all, but yet they are these creatures that are there about the throne of God. He goes on to describe them. As for the likeness of their faces, the four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they had the face of an ox on the left side. And they also had the face of an eagle. So there were four faces on each of them. The front face was like a man. The right side of it was like a lion. The left side, like an ox. And behind, like an eagle. Now, as I say, they look like some kind of a genetic monstrosity as you look at them. There are some who see in these four faces the four Gospels as they describe Jesus Christ. For in the Gospels, Christ is described as the Son of Man in Luke's gospel. In Matthew's gospel, he is described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, or rather Mark's gospel. Matthew's gospel, he is the servant, the ox, the beast of service. And in John's gospel, the deity, the eagle. But thus were their faces, their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went everywhere straight forward. Whether the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. Now, because they have faces going in every direction, you just, you know, you move straight. You don't have to turn your head to go. You just move in straight movements. And as for the likeness of these living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. Now, picture your barbecue and the burning coals of fire on it, and like the appearance of lamps. And it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire there came forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. So they could move with the speed of light almost. Their movement was extremely fast and like a lightning bolt, just, you know, the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. And the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl. And they four, which would be green, they four had one likeness. And their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. So again, he's using human language, trying to describe their appearance and so forth, and these wheels, and it was like a wheel within the middle of the wheel, and these flashes of light and so forth as they move in this green glow, like a beryl in color. And they went, when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. This is the third time he mentions this, so it's probably quite remarkable to him. He hasn't seen anything like this as far as, you know, the earth and on the earth. So as for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, awesome. Their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. And whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. And thither was their Spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the Spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Now when those went, these went. When those stood still, these stood still. And when they were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the Spirit of the living creature, again he repeats, was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament above their heads, upon the heads of the living creatures, was the color of an awesome crystal stretched forth over their heads above. In other words, now he's describing the area around the throne of God. These creatures were under the throne of God. And this was like an awesome crystal. John saw this sea of glass likened to crystal that was there before the throne of God. And as you read Revelation 4, you'll find that it parallels very much this vision of Ezekiel, as both of these men, bound by human limitations, try to describe the heavenly scene, the throne of God, and the glory of God that they behold in these visions. And under the firmament were their wings straight, and one toward the other. Everyone had two, which they covered their side. Everyone had two, which covered the sides of their bodies. With two, they touched each other. With two, they covered the sides of their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls or ever been up in Yosemite to Vernal Falls or Nevada Falls? And you hear this noise of of great waters, sort of a roar. And so as they moved, there was this roar, the flashes like lightning, and the straight direction type movements. As the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host when they stood, they let down their wings. So when they were standing, their wings would come down to their side. And there was a voice from this heaven, this firmament, this expanse above them, that was over their heads when they stood and they had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, which is blue. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as of the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it. And from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, as it had been brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So you might find it interesting when you have your own study to read Daniel 7, 9, and 10, as Daniel describes his vision of God. Isaiah chapter 6, as he describes his vision of the throne of God. And then Revelation chapter 4, as John describes his. And you put them all together and you get a pretty good composite of what the heavenly scene must look like. This bowl, John describes it in Revelation chapter 4, a bowl like emerald, it's sort of a greenish in color, that is around about the throne of God. Ezekiel describes it here. John had much the same reaction of just falling on his face. Daniel was weak as a result of his vision. He just was totally weakened by it. Ezekiel fell on his face and he heard the voice of one that spake. Now, flying saucer buffs declare that Ezekiel actually sighted a flying saucer, that there are extraterrestrial beings that have visited the earth and have been visiting the earth during the historic period of man, and that they actually account for many of the otherwise unaccountable phenomena of history. Some of the mammoth building projects of ancient man, which still baffle us today. And they, of course, go out to the desert or into various areas, and they have these sightings of these flying saucers. And there's just an awful lot that has been written, has been discussed, has been talked about flying saucers. And there have been many reports and much interesting phenomena surrounding these flying saucers. Many of them can be accounted for as perhaps swamp gases and other things, but yet there are others that reasonably intelligent men have expressed and described, and it's hard to discount them all. Lambert Dolphin, who is a scientist up at the University of Stanford, one of the scientists, I believe his area is that of astrophysics, quite outstanding, very intelligent man, was asked to speak at one of these flying saucer conventions. And so he prepared a paper on flying saucers in which he thought that he would, before the convention, thoroughly debunk this whole flying saucer kind of a what he thought mythology. And he was approaching it from just a purely scientific standpoint and was going to take so many of the concepts that they had about moving on the magnetic forces and all of this and seek to thoroughly, from a scientific standpoint, debunk the thing. As he was sitting there on the platform, and there were about 3,000 people at this convention, the speaker, and of course he was interested that these weren't freaky people. You know, you think that people who see flying saucers and all are sort of fringe, freaky, you know, kind of people. But he realized that among them there were professors, other scientists, peace officers, a wide cross-section of our society. The leader of the convention asked the people, how many of you have ever seen a flying saucer? And he was shocked that about two-thirds of the hands in the auditorium went up. People said that they had sighted flying saucers. He then asked, how many of you have been taken aboard a flying saucer? And about a third of the people raised their hands. And he began to get a little concerned. When he stood up to speak, he heard this screaming noise that was extremely distracting to him. And he wondered, where is that coming from? And he looked around the audience to see what direction the people might be looking, because he figured that those that were closest to the screaming noise would be looking at it, and he could localize where it was and then ask, you know, the ushers or someone to take care of that and get rid of it. But he said suddenly he realized that nobody was looking around anywhere and that he was the only one that was hearing this screaming noise. And to this man of science, there came suddenly the awareness, hey, this whole thing is demonic. And he got so shook that he was unable to deliver his paper, in which he was going to debunk the whole flying saucer theory or ideas, concepts. He was just totally shaken. Now, the interesting thing to me is that these people do try to bring Ezekiel into their fold, into their number. Look, he describes it. He perfectly describes it in his book. Wait a minute. What does Ezekiel describe? As I said, in chapter 10, Ezekiel again describes it, but he tells us what it is. These are the cherubim that are there before the throne of God. These wheels within the wheels with the flashes of lightning and the movements and so forth. And have you heard them describe how the flying saucers move in the straight type of lines? They don't make a wide arc when they turn. They just straight line type of movement, being able to change directions and so forth with tremendous speed, able to hover and then suddenly move off with tremendous speeds. Is it possible that these people who are sighting these UFOs are also dabbling into the occult and are seeing fallen cherubim? We know that when Satan fell, that one-third of the angelic host went with him. It is interesting that the Bible says that Satan was indeed a cherubim. He was the anointed, not a cherubim, because cherubim is plural. Cherub is the singular. He was an anointed cherub that covered. But there are cherubim, plural. It is very possible that we are dealing in an interesting area of the occult, and that there are these cherubim that are making themselves visible to those who are dabbling into that realm of occultism. Now, what Ezekiel saw were the cherubim there at the throne of God, but it would also stand that the cherubim who fell would have a similar likeness or appearance and movements. So it is possible that we cannot thoroughly discount this whole flying saucer phenomena as a bunch of junk, but it could indeed be that in these last days, as satanic forces are growing as far as the demonstrations of their power, that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And there was strong demonic activity in the days of Noah, and we're coming into the area again of strong demonic activity. Now, I offer that as only a suggestion. I'm not declaring to you, oh, I've got some great mysterious truth I'm revealing now, you know, and this is the way it happened, or this is the way it, this is just a suggestion, something to think about, and I'll let it go at that. And he said unto me, Son of Man. Now, this is a title that Ezekiel uses quite often. It is a title that Jesus uses in the New Testament concerning himself. It is a title that was used here for Ezekiel, and quite often the Lord refers to Ezekiel as Son of Man.
Continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 1 through 2 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
And now may the Lord help you to assimilate that which we have studied, and may He bring to your remembrance those things which He has commanded. And may you be enriched in the knowledge of God and His will and His plan for your life. May the Lord be with you, to bless you, to guide you, and may you be kept by that power of God through faith and trust in Him. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Pastor Greg Laurie.
Rarely does a man come along that literally changes a generation. But such a man came, and that man is here tonight, and his name is Chuck Smith. Yeah?
Join Pastor Greg in an exclusive interview with Pastor Chuck. Listen to rarely heard stories and memories in Chuck's own words about the events that influenced him and how he, in turn, influenced so many.
We have only one life, and it'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last.
To order a copy of the special DVD with Greg Laurie and Chuck Smith, visit thewordfortoday.org or call 800-272-9673. Again, the number to call is 800-272-WORD.